All right, hit and record because it's Friday, and look at this, we're going to have a bumper.
Get those nerds! Nerds!
Well, if you weren't awake yet, maybe now you are. Hello, everybody. And it's a Friday edition of Bid Nerds, your daily nerd out on the most interesting cars of the day on Cars and Bids. Bring a trailer, rad for sale, P-Car Market, Hemmings, wherever they're selling cars on an auction. Other than eBay, we're going to talk about it if they've got interesting cars. My name is John Polnick. I'm coming to you live from Las Vegas, Nevada. We're right on the Las Vegas Strip. That's literally right like feet away from me. And then we got Michael Deeb in Soggy San Francisco this morning. Good morning, Michael Deeb. End of the week. What's up?
Yeah, dude, it's raining cats and dogs out here. I might as well be in Seattle. It's a mess.
Well, I'm sure you're glad you're not, out to all our friends that are stuck in Seattle or other places that are just completely screwed by weather. I mean, I heard Austin and Texas is all kinds
Texas
of...
Texas is a mess, yeah.
You know, their pipes are blowing up. So not anyways, you know, that's going to be interesting. I wonder if that'll affect any of the auctions that we're talking about today, because it's like I had my Cayenne picked up yesterday. For those of you who watch the show, you may know that my personal Cayenne was sold on Bring a Trailer on Tuesday. We were really proud of that. And the buyer already had a shipping company come out. They were concerned that it was going to take weeks to get a shipping company because he had to bring it up to the, you know, the Midwest, up to Chicago. I was thinking, oh man, this is never going to happen. Okay, whatever. I'll just, you know, cool my jets. I'll store the thing away in my parking garage and he'll call me when it's time. And, I get a phone call from the shipping company. Hey, well, I need to come and get your car. I'm like, whoa, okay, great. You know, I'm happy to accommodate you. Call me right now. You know, I mean, the text is just like demanding and curt. And, you know, then I'm like, he's like, where are you? I'm like, well, I texted you the address. I'll be here. You know, we set up a time and he's like, yeah, but what exit do I take? I'm like, you know, Google's your friend, dude. What you're the one driving an 18 wheeler. You know, so I tell him where to go. Okay. Yeah. And then I get here, I wait for him. I take time off from my day. I'm waiting. The guy is late. I get a phone call and I answer the call and it's not like, hello, this is Joe Blow from shipping company X. We're not going to mention the name of the shipping company. They're a big one, though. And he's yelling at me. I don't work this way. There's construction on this exit. I'm like, oh, dude, sorry. I didn't know you're a professional driver. There's construction in cities. That's a thing. I kind of figured you'd know that. Oh, man, dude, this guy. Whew. Anyways, long story short, he ultimately wound up picking up the truck, but it was... interesting. He was having a hard time.
It was touch and go. You called me wondering if that guy was actually still gonna do the
I hung up on him. The first time I'm like, you're under the impression that I give two craps about anything. I'm here accommodating you, not the other way around, pal. You were hired to pick up a truck. He wanted me to like drive to another part of the city where it would be easier for him to load the car. I'm like, what? No. Anyways, the Cayenne is off to its new owner and all the new adventures that it's going to have in its future. It's going to be pretty exciting.
In Chicago, right?
Well, yeah. It's a company that they provide vehicles for movies and events and stuff like that. So they
That's
like
awesome,
cool-looking
man.
Cars and events.
Rad.
I'm still
That's
not entirely cool. sure. I don't quite understand their business model, but... hey, more power to them. They bought a bunch of cars, and the Cayenne's one of them. So that's going to be really cool.
It's like a Turo for marketing, you know?
Yeah. I guess most of the cars don't get like they don't rent them out for people to drive. They rent them out to be displayed
for people to look at. Yeah, beautiful. Even better.
So
They'll sell your car back in 5 years for 40 cents on the dollar with no more miles on it.
Yeah. Well, that was, so for folks who may be new to the channel, what we do here is we discuss the most interesting cars of the day on all these auction sites for automotive enthusiasts. And really the big thing that we like to do, the most fun part, is we like to make predictions as to what we think these cars will ultimately sell for. And we keep track of those numbers and we always kind of go back and talk about the day before. And Michael and I have a little bit of a competition. Yesterday we had Bradley Brownell from Jalopnik and Flat Sixes and one of the founders of Radwood. He was here to talk about Rad for Sale, a new auction site that is launching in just a week or so. And he played along with us and beat us at our own game.
F that guy. We should never, ever have him.
Oh, Bradley, back on the what's show up, man? What, you just come in and murder us here? What the hell,
what
buddy?
What kind of fun is that, man? Jeez.
He was great to have on the show, wasn't he?
Talk about bringing the mice to the cat. Oh, humiliating. He was great. He was absolutely great. It's fun because, listen, JP, at the end of the day, it's as if we're standing in a parking lot in a Cars and Coffee just talking shit about cars. And he's great. I've met him a couple times. I know you know him well.
Yeah.
But I've met him a couple times. And to just devolve into a conversation about cars and riff, it was really fun. Yeah. And I will just say this. Bradley, we heard you. We heard you say you'd love to come on the show regularly. Careful what you ask for. It may just happen. You know, we'll be outside your door, you know. Live at 5.
He is going to get a third nerd t-shirt permanent status.
Yeah, get that guy a Speedo and a beanie.
So before we get to yesterday's card, just quick shout out to our good friend, staff photographer Lee Patet and his family. He's a good friend of ours, and he contributes so much to our program and everything that we do. Him and his family welcomed Zoe last night. He's a brand new baby girl. So congratulations to Lee and Betsy and the whole Patet family. Beautiful kid. I did text him this morning after he texted me with a picture. I'm like, does she know how to use a camera yet? I mean, what are you doing? Hurry up.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody works harder than the Patet family, man. Those guys.
Yeah. Congratulations, Lee. Your air-cooled 9/11 dream just got further pushed down the road.
Although, you know, he does have a valid case for trading in the Boxster now because he has 3 children, and you need those back seats, man. 9/11 has back seats, whereas the Boxster does not have that.
Don't end up on manual cannons. All the shit.
You know that that ship has sailed. He has driven that car.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he knows the manual Cayenne well. Cayenne. When I broke my arm, he had to drive it a couple hundred miles back from Area 51 to get us to a hospital. Idiots. Oh,
part of me wishes I was there with you guys at Area 51, and part of me is glad I was nowhere near you in Area 51.
Yeah, it would have been a much longer trip to the hospital because I'm sure you would have eaten as much shit as I did trying to show up. Absolutely. The moral of that story is don't try to Naruto run when you're in your 40s. Not a good idea. All right, let's talk about yesterday's cars. We went over 5 cars yesterday, let me tell you, even though Bradley beat us, he didn't fare that much better than any of us. We always say it on the show. We don't know what we're talking about, but man, the market just smacked us in the mouth yesterday. What happened?
Yeah. Yesterday we proved it. So the very first car, the 2011 Bentley Continental Super Sport. This is the hopped up version of the convertible. We were not too bad on this car. I said 90. I was high. You said 85. You were medium. Bradley Brunell took a very strong take and said he didn't think that this car, which was on Cars and Bids, he was betting platform too, was going to get another bid. So he bid where it was at when we reviewed it, $81,750. Well, the car made another $1,000 and it sold for $82,750. So JP, you got that one, but Bradley beat you, and man, he was all over that car. So that was really good.
Yeah.
We jumped over to Bring a Trailer to pick a complete Radwood gem. This 1991 Toyota manual transmission. This is a normally aspirated front wheel drive, also ran. Like, nobody really cared about these cars. But to see one like the one that you picked out on Bring a Trailer because we had Bradley on the show, it really does take you back. I remember when these were all over the place in Northern California. They were inexpensive commuter cars, but they were still arguably more fun than the average micro subcompact, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, I said 10.5 on this car with low miles. You said 11, and Bradley said 10. So technically, I got the win, but the car sold for $8,600. If you remember, JP, Bradley took a strong Radwood take and said, buy this car for 10 and then sell it for 15 on Radwood. What is it?
Rad for sale,
in like 3 months, which I thought was really great. At $8,600, he just improved his profit margin.
He totally should have.
Yeah, so that was another great one. And again, the pupil teaching the teachers how to do it. We also looked at a 1998 Porsche 911 Targa. Now, this was the auction of the day.
Oh, my God.
JP, this car was at like $40,000+, right? Wasn't it?
Or yeah, no, like, in the yeah, it was a little more than that in the morning.
But it was really low. And so we, you know, we lamented. I was the high man by a lot. I said 71,000. You said 65, $6,000 under me. And Brad said $62,000, which was interesting. I think this was another one where he didn't think it was going to get much more action at all. Well, this auction took about 40 minutes to close because there were multiple people fighting over the car, and they were letting the timer go down to almost nothing before they would put their next bid. This just went on and on and on because it generated $83,000 and sold at that price. So I beat both of you guys fair and square. And I was nowhere near. I was off by $12,000, which is a ton.
You know, you should have gotten this one right because, I mean, you did point out and you know, I think Bradley and I were both just nerd-turding all over the fact that it was a 993 Targa, and we both lament how bad the 993 Targa is in comparison to most 993s. And the fact is, you pointed out, they only made a couple hundred, 122 of these or something like that?
122, and only 22 are manuals. 100 of these were with that terrible torque converter, slush box, ZF Tron, automatic.
Yeah.
Barf,
yeah,
whatever.
Just a piece of junk transmission. So this had the right transmission, and it was the last year, and it was arena red, which is a popular color, which I don't like. But I mean, there were so many things going for this car that made sense for this thing to really, really, really take off. If this were a 97 Targa, I think our numbers would have been much more accurate. Right. And I think I think neither one of us really considered that. We got wrapped up in the whole just Targa mess, which is a mess on these.
But that being said, JP, this car's got 70,000 miles on it. It wasn't perfect. And somebody paid a retail price for that. I mean, if we had this car at Godin, I don't know.
Godin would have tried to charge $95,000 for it. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely.
And it would sit there for 2 years.
I sold one of the other 22 manual cars there. Mm-hmm. It was, you remember, it was silver, JP, with like either black or gray interior. Manual had like 21,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
And we listed it for like, I don't know, like $125 or something. And then, you know, we'd like let it go like right at six figures. I mean, it was, the guy got a great deal. I don't know. I still think this price is high. So congratulations to the seller. You did great.
Yeah.
Congratulations to the buyer. I mean, you got a car. It's, you know, it's not.
It's a rare car.
Best.
At least it's a rare car that someone could conceivably drive. A lot of times cars that are of this high rarity don't get driven. They just get sealed away. Well, who cares at this one? 77,000 miles or 107,000 miles. Is it really going to make a difference at this point? Drive that thing.
And here's the deal. Like, you know, his best comp is his own car. One of these sold for $83,000, look just like this one, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could conceivably help him that this was a public price pay that people fought over it up to $83,000.
For sure,
that might help him sell it when he decides to get the needs to get out of it. All right, moving on. Also on Bring a Trailer, another surprise auction.
Yeah,
or maybe we're just idiots. What's the common denominator?
More than likely the latter.
89 Ferrari 348 TS. The great take that Bradley said was that the modifications that were done to this car were not aftermarket. They were Ferrari performance parts from other variants. Mm-hmm. So we had pieces from 348 Series Speciale. We had 348 Challenge parts. We had F40 brakes. We had F50 brakes. All of these things to Lego together was his take, which I thought was a fantastic take. Brought this car together to make something that literally looks like a challenge car for the street. But by all means, this is a stock drivetrain. Mm-hmm. It'll pass smog. It's just going to handle even better and stop even shorter. Tubi exhaust, too, probably sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. We kind of knocked it because it had a Targa roof, which I'm sure
you guys knocked it. I didn't.
Offended Polnick sensibilities here. Mm-hmm. But Bradley and I both said, if you're really going to make this car handle, then have a fixed roof. But whatever. I said 53. You went over me at 55. Bradley went under both of us at 48. And this car went along and along and along up to $70,000 and sold at that price. This wasn't a low mile example, JP.
Yeah.
Literally, somebody paid to have all those parts put on the car. I mean, that's what that price reflects, because you can get a TS with 50,000 miles on it for $40,000, $45,000 bucks. Bradley's number was not far off at all, but this car is in Vegas. It's red. It's got stickers. It looked the part. JP, what do you think? I mean, they paid a premium.
His take too was that, you know, usually Ferrari people don't like modded Ferraris, and I tend to agree with them. I mean, like, that's usually they get all, I mean, the cliche is the pleated pants Porsche Club of America car guy who gets all bent out of shape if anything's not stock. I mean, Ferrari people make that look ridiculous. I mean, they are even more over the top when it comes to that stuff. So this car with stickers on it is, like, I thought would be repellent to a Ferrari owner. But that is the beauty of auto enthusiasm, of these, you know, I mean, people that are into these cars. And I think that comes from a latter an earlier generation like us, when you compare it to the typical Ferrari or who's typically been much older. Guys our age are down for this stuff. Guys that are younger even more. Those seats have got to be worth, you know, what'd you say, 10, 20, 15 grand.
Exactly.
I will say I almost moved into this building, the Regency Towers, instead of the one that we're in.
Shout out. Cool
units in there. I love that car. Would love to have owned it. There will be a 348 in my garage one day.
Yeah.
That's probably the one Ferrari I'll ever buy.
I will say, if it's a 355 and it's got a manual, it's a $120,000 car. And if it had the factory racing bucket seats, which were really, really rare, there'd be another premium. So somebody paid a premium, certainly for the seats and for the other parts as well. So congratulations to the seller. Stickers got you a premium. Since we're on a roll, JP, by the way, you won that one. Since we're on a roll, kills me when you get Italian cars right. I don't even know how to order pizza right. What's the matter for you? Since we're on a roll, JP, let's get it wrong one more time. The 1987 Sterling 825 SL out of Southern California. JP, if you remember, this car had like 27,000 original miles. We discovered, I don't know, maybe you knew this, but we discovered on air, I did at least, that this is basically an Acura Legend in an English tailored suit. That lost a lot of value. Nobody really cares about these cars except for our buyer, because when I said 6,500 and you said six and Bradley said seven, Bradley, the high bidder, was wrong by more than 50%, because this car sold for $14,050. So I won it, but Brad got it right, and we were all completely off. I mean, by percentage points, that's humiliating.
But you have to take a moment and sit back and just, we rush through these cars. We talk about this stuff. We're always having these conversations. You have to embrace the idea that there is a guy with a bank account that has 14,000 fewer dollars in it this morning. Because he's getting an 87 Sterling is coming to him. We have moved into bizarro world like nobody's business. I don't care if this thing had 27 miles. It is not worth $14,000. You, sir.
You know what else he's getting, JP? Divorce, because his wife walked in on him while he was in front of the computer, and he probably looked like he got caught. And she was like, hell no. And just went, packed her bag and left.
Do you really think that this person has ever seen a woman without pants on? Yeah. I suspect not. I don't know. I mean, maybe Bradley, maybe it was all Bradley. He just, you know, said basically, if you bring this car to a Radwood event, you're getting a trophy. That would raise the value of this, but that would only make sense if anybody watched our show. Nobody watches us. So there's no way the person that dropped 14 grand on this watches us.
Yeah. Since this car, this lot is not a reflection of a Sterling being worth $14,000. That lot is a reflection of a trophy at Radwood being worth $7,000 premium. That's what that proved. Anyways, our mojo clearly brought up the value of that car, because we covered it, and then it had like hours to go.
Yeah, hold on. Watch the show. Have we ever seen a car? I mean, when we discussed it live on the YouTube machine, the car was sitting at under $5,000. It was $4,700.
Yeah, exactly.
This car tripled in price, more than tripled. Right? Yep. It quadrupled in the final hours. Have we ever seen any car go up that high?
No, that,
anything.
There was no. There was that Tesla Roadster, like doubled in value, went from 100 to 200. But again, that's just 2x. This is 3.5x.
Yeah, three orders of magnitude higher than what it was sitting at earlier in the last day of the auction. Unreal.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, big huge anomaly. I'm sure it was Bradley's fault. We will go ahead totally. And lean on him for that. Let's get to today's cars.
Yeah, Bradley won three of those, which was just humiliating. So please don't ever invite that really nice guy that's very funny and knows a lot about cars on this show.
You
again.
Know he's coming back.
He makes us look. Makes us look bad, and we don't need any help with that. Thanks, Bradley.
That's the one thing we're good at is being wrong. I mean, and he's going to come in here.
Just
and,
ask P Car Market.
yeah, they know. They know for sure. Wow,
they're so plugged in.
They're plugged into the community. I mean, they're plugged. We're plugged into our community. We have a very big collection.
Our fan, Mr. Flat.
I wish I could do a Long Island accent. I just can't do it.
We're in Vegas. So all we do is Long Island iced teas.
That's right. That's the only thing I want from Long Island is a lot of booze and very little tea. Okay, let's get to the cars of the day. What do we got today?
We are off to a good start. All right, this is about to go backwards quickly. Our star car of the day, JP, is perfect for Seattle and San Francisco today. Mm. It is a 1988 BMW 325 XI. And the X stands for all-wheel drive before it stood for SUV in BMW nomenclature. This is an E30 platform. The 25 means it's an inline six, JP, manual transmission. And this was, at least by my understanding, BMW's first foray into all-wheel drive in the North American market. Now, they may have made something like this in Europe prior to this car coming to the States, but this was the first. This was sort of their answer to the probably green with envy commercial success that Audi was having, marketing a Quattro and Americans buying those things up. So BMW said, well, hey, we can do that. And they built this car. Now, certainly it's heavier and therefore a little bit slower than a non-XI 325 Sport Coupe. But you kind of have to look back on this car being the first of a breed. Now BMW makes even their most high-performance vehicles, like today's M5, is only available in all-wheel drive. But this was the first. This is the great granddaddy to it all. I don't know that people pay a premium for these cars in the secondary market. I would think the enthusiast crowd, while these might be cool to look at a show at Radwood, if you were going to modify and, of course, drive the snot out of the E30 that is in your garage, you'd probably want it without that front diff. So with this car being in New York City and having 150,000 miles on it, JP, where do you think it's going to land?
Well, I mean, yeah, New York City is a weird place for it. I mean, but they do get snow there. So, I mean, if you're going to, I mean, New York City is the kind of place that you can't have a lot of cars unless you are ultra wealthy.
Yeah.
So to even have one car, and if you want that car to be classic, well, that's narrowing down a car that you can actually use. And this is one of the most useful classic cars you can imagine. I mean, the 325 E30 platform is unbelievably reliable. We know that. You can drive these for almost literally 300,000 miles. I've seen so many of them go forever and ever and ever and ever. And the all-wheel drive system compared to the Audi or compared to a Subaru is certainly not the best. I mean, and it's definitely not an enthusiast all-wheel drive system. This is not a car that you want to take out and try to beat a Quattro on a racetrack because the Quattro is going to do a much better job.
Yeah.
And you're better off with a two-wheel drive. But you are going to be able to get through the snow, and people in the Northwest love these cars. Love them.
Oh, wow. That's so funny. That's so funny. Yeah, I kind of get that. I should say this car is in Brooklyn, not New York City. Please, I don't want to offend all of our fans on the Eastern Seaboard, both of you.
As long as it's not Long Island, we're good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's not in the offices of P-Car Market, so this car is going to be fine. But anyway, this car definitely shows that it has 150,000 miles on it. JP, if you could pull up one photo of like the side profile of that car, one of the early in the bucket, if it's easy. Even the thumb shot is good. Yeah. This fender extension radius that goes down to the rocker and then back over the bottom fender, is that stock? Do you remember if that
is stock and that came only on these
on the iXs? That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure. And I thought if I asked you, you'd know. So It does, but look, by all accounts, this is a cool car. And, yeah, you know, at $7,000, you could probably pick this car up and go ahead and spend another $7,000 on it, clean it up, and have a pretty rad car. But again, if your intention is to drive it to the extreme, this probably isn't the best dance partner. So a cool car, not particularly for me, especially as we're trying to get back to Vegas, where the only time it rains is if you spit on the windshield of your own car. That's about it.
Yeah. I mean, so the biggest problem with this car, I mean, if this were a Northwest car where they don't salt the roads and stuff like that, you know, this would be a great car for someone in the Northwest. Again, you know, because in the Northwest, it doesn't snow all the time, but it does rain all the time. And so two-wheel drive cars are difficult to live with in the winter months. This car definitely has some corrosion issues, only not nearly as bad as one would expect for a car on the East Coast and an older car like this. I mean, it looks like the body rails and everything like that are all pretty good. It looks like mostly surface. I'm not touching this thing. There's no way in hell I would spend the money. But $7,000, where is it sitting at right now?
$7,000 with over 4 hours to go, JP.
It's got a long way to go. This is an E30. Yeah, it is the diving board variety, but these are popular.
But JP, the thing, like, it's in Brooklyn, which is going to be hard to get it out. It's only got 10 bids. It's got a ton of miles. That driver's seat, look, I love patina on leather. That is great. But that driver's seat is
it pretty well designed?
What do they call it? Fubo, right?
Fubar.
Fubar. It's beyond all recognition. Thank you for JP with that one. pick up. So it's got a long time to go, but I don't think there's much money left in this car. So, John, I'm going to say $10,000 because BMWs are a bright spot and it's a manual, but I think the seller would be lucky if he gets to $10,000. I still think my bid is high, but whatever. What do you think?
What's the miles on this thing?
149,000.
Yeah, that is. I mean, that's a lot of knocks against it. Northeast.
Oh, Northeast. No. JP, 170,000. I got it wrong. 170,000.
Yeah. So high miles. I mean, relatively high miles. Corrosion. Northeast. Getting the car out of there. Shipping cost is going to be at least a couple grand if you want to get it to the West Coast. So yeah, maybe I'll bid under you. I'll go 9.
Right. Yeah. 9.
If this car were in the Northwest or were on the West Coast, the miles would not scare people away if it didn't have that corrosion. The interior, you know, I mean, it looked like the dash was all right. I mean, that at least it had going for it. You know, the dashes on these crack up horribly, almost as bad as 944s or something. So, anyways.
All right, man. So let's jump over to cars and bids, and we're going to look at another BMW. JP, this one does have 149,000 miles out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. I selected this car in honor of your great triumph on Tuesday. This is a X3 SI with a boom manual transmission. Look at that. The 3-liter inline six all-wheel drive is mated to a 6-speed manual gearbox. Just kind of cool. I you know, neat cars. You don't see them very often. I kind of forget these vehicles exist. How would you like to have this one, JP? I mean, it's really clean for 149,000 miles. I mean, you know, think about it. There's 20,000 more miles on that X3 in Brooklyn, and that car looks like it came out of a Max movie. This car looks like it just came off lease, and it's triple black. I mean, that's a lot of car for the money right there, sitting at just $5,900 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So tell me, what would you rather have for your Pacific Northwest home, this X3 or that iX for – you know, not even equal money. This one's cheaper.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you. The X3 far and away. I mean, I know I'm killing my you know, classic car cred here, but
absolutely,
by all means, the X3 is the better way to go. And this is an SI, so or IS. I'm sorry, I get those two confused. But
SI.
Yeah, SI. So it has the.
What does that mean?
Well, it has the. So they had the. They have the 2.5 and then they had the 3-liter I. And then in the later version of this generation, they had the SI or IS. I always, and which just gave it a little bit more horsepower. And it's kind of a sport version. You can see it's got these kind of seams on the seats, the black on black. These are fun to drive. I mean, these are fun to drive. Probably obviously my Cayenne was a manual. This thing's definitely more fun to drive because it's just smaller, lighter, more flickable. The power to weight ratio is better. It's more BMWs really are great cars to drive. It's a lot like driving that 325 XI that I had, only with a lot more power, because this the the 3 liter SIs got a lot more poop. I really, really do dig this car. And I actually was searching for one of these for a long time.
Yeah. We're talking about the 3 liter inline six called the N52 motor, yeah. which is basically 270 horsepower and 230 pound foot of torque. And then, of course, all wheel drive and a 6-speed manual. So I do like Cars and Bids interface. We can pull up this information like that. Thank you, Doug DeMiro, for hiring people to do it. This car also has the sport package. So probably all part of the SI, right? So it's going to have the BMW's stiffer springs, anti-roll bars, the whole sport suspension, and then, of course, slightly different aero. And look at those wheels. I'm sure that's part of the package, too. Those are, like, big, beautiful, looks like 19-inch wheels. This whole car just does it for me. I think this is a great little value. The miles wouldn't scare me on this because there's no turbo involved. And, JP, this car on 17 bids is sitting at just $5,900. No reserve auction. I mean, man, almost wound off your wallet for this one. That's a good, that's a lot of car.
Seeing a lot of oil over here. I don't know if that's a rear main seal update. I mean, 140,000 miles, it's going to probably need some pretty heavy maintenance. But even then, there's nothing that catastrophically typically goes wrong with these engines. They don't have the Vanos like the, you know, like the S54 engines or any of that M engine stuff like that. I mean, these are pretty darn robust. You're going to have coolant leaks and stuff like that, like any other BMW of the era. But this thing is really like a Z4. I mean, it's the same powertrain as a Z4, but with four seats and you know, it's like a Z4 wagon or something like that.
High center of gravity. Yeah, exactly.
And that is probably the only thing I don't like about this car is that big, huge panoramic moonroof. Does add a lot of weight up there. But yeah, I dig this car.
And it gets hot in Vegas. Places like Vegas and Arizona, those are, you kind of don't want your SUV with a pano roof, no matter how cool they are at night.
It does have a sunshade. I mean, it does cover it up. I mean, some of the panos don't have covers. This one is a completely opaque cover, but
this whole car is black.
Yeah, this whole car is black. It's true.
But man, 3/4 of the year, this would be a great vehicle to have in Vegas.
$5,900, that's all it's sitting at right now?
Yeah, no reserve. It's going to sell.
Wow. Okay, might have to watch this one after it's over, because where do you think this is going to land? Do you have any idea?
So I put $8,000, and again, I'm betting platform here. Yeah. I still think this car should go higher. I want to say it's a $10,000 car. But 159,000 miles, and then you said you saw some oil. I don't think I'm going to change my bid. I'm just going to leave it there at $8,000. It wouldn't surprise me if this car had a flurry because of the manual, and it's a good looking car.
Yeah.
But you know, it's.
I don't love where it is. You know, that's the other thing. It's like, okay, from Minnesota, you're looking for corrosion and stuff like that in the Midwest. And this is definitely a car that someone would drive during the winter. Unlike that XI where you think someone might stuff it away, you know, but this car is getting driven. This is a utility vehicle. And then here's another thing, too. Look, the fender. Oh, wait, no, that's just a. I thought maybe this fender piece was coming off, but no, that's just a reflection.
Reflection,
Yeah, you said nine. Eight. Yeah, I'll go nine. I'll go 9,000. Yeah. I just wish it had fewer miles. That would really make a big difference. But
I can't believe that I'm listening to you say, "Well, it's got too many miles on it." You were so not mild sensitive. But it is a young car. And it has been driven. I mean. 14,
like you said, platform, right? I mean, if this were on BAT, I suspect it would find an enthusiast driver. I don't, you know, and look, there's a lot of great enthusiasts sitting around hanging out on Cars and Bids, but for some reason, like Audis and BMWs just routinely fail. Yeah. And Cars and Bids will say, oh no, we sell a ton of them. But they do, but they don't really, you never see any late flurries. They just kind of sell.
The question, the survey we can't, it's impossible to have is, are the consigners on Cars and Bids happy with the results they're getting? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose they are if
they're setting their own reserve, right?
Sure. I mean, look, I will say it as someone who has sold cars on Cars and Bids and someone who has bought an all-wheel drive BMW on Cars and Bids. I mean, if you're a longtime fan of the show, you know that I bought, what was that thing? An 06 325 yep. XI coupe. No, it was a sedan. With a manual. Yeah. Silver manual sedan. With pretty low miles. It had like 60,000 miles on it. And I bought that car and drove it around for a little while and sold it for more than I bought it for on Cars and Bids. And I sold it on just like the local offer up. I didn't sell it on an auction site. That's weird because if you buy a car in BAT, that is where you're going to get the most. There's no car that brings more money somewhere else than BAT. BAT is where you're going to get the most money, period, end of story. Whereas cars and bids on some vehicles, yes, some vehicles, not so much. I mean, I didn't mean to buy that 3 Series.
Right.
And the fact that I was able to flip it and make more, like a significant amount, wasn't like a few hundred bucks either. Sold it for a lot more. What's up, cars and bids? I mean, they're not bringing the BMW enthusiast buyer, so there might be a buy here. This might be, if it's sitting at $5,900, it could very easily in a couple hours be at $6,400, and I might be flying to freaking Minnesota.
Yeah, it's a no reserve. So
all right, okay, I spent a lot of time on the X3. Sorry, guys.
That's okay. And a long time to go on that one, JP. 3 hours and 25 minutes from now. So. Now we're going to do 3 old cars. We compared our manual all-wheel drive BMWs, and now we're going to juxtapose 3 actually pretty different kind of old cars. So let's start with my favorite, the 1958 Alfa Romeo Giulietta Sprint 750B. I like these cars because the double overhead cam motors are rev happy, the suspension is dreamy, and they shift wonderfully. You get in them, you rev them, wind them way up, and then you just keep shifting at like red line on these cars. And the harder you drive them, the more fun they are to drive. They're also really easy on the eyes. I love this Bertone design. I think these are beautiful cars. This one has a lot going on. So there's a few things to unpack here. JD, the difference between a Normale and a Veloce is essentially like the Normale is a single carb, whereas the Veloce is a dual carb. Hotter cam, higher compression, that sort of thing. So this guy has a Normale, and he put Sprint Veloce emblems on the side of the car. So he's passing off as that. But then this car came with a 1,300cc motor, and this guy shoehorned in a 2-liter. So these are all things I would do to my car, and I love it for that. But these are not things that certainly help what is essentially a collector model and keep it as a collector car. This is really just a driver. And as such, this guy is not going to realize the full potential that if this were a stock car in original condition, this car would bring more money. And yet, if I owned one, I would do all this stuff. So it's kind of a love-hate relationship with this particular example. Now, some of these early 50s cars had really beautiful seats and interiors, and I do not recognize the seat pattern that's in this car. So I don't know what's going on with these seats. These are really ugly seats. Please don't hate on Alfa Giulietta's because of the seats that are in this example. Most of the ones you see have these beautiful seats that are period correct. JP, think of those bucket seats that are in like Porsche Speedsters that have the open wings on the side of the seat. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
Normally, the interiors on these cars were reminiscent of that. So anyways, out of Carmel, California, it shows 49,000 miles, but true mileage unknown. This 2-liter probably makes about 140 horsepower, and this car probably weighs less than 2,000 pounds with the roll bar. Really neat auction. It's at $45,000 with an hour and a half to go. There is some action on this car at 22 bids. But by all accounts, if this was a stock Normale, it would be an $85,000 car. And if it was a real Sprint Veloce, it could be a $120,000 car. So what do you think? You ever driven one of these? I don't think you have.
I haven't. No. Yeah, I got it. You just got to love the Italians coming up with a fancy way of saying normal. Normale, it's the Alfa Normal. Like that would fly in the marketing department, any American car company. But if you put an E on the end, it's all good. Look, this car is so beautiful. I think as much fun as either one of us would have driving this thing around, either one of our ladies driving this car with a scarf around their hair and big sunglasses would just be so Hollywood chasing James Bond around. This thing is just sexy. I love the car.
Absolutely.
Don't know a lot about them, but I do know that, I want this car so that my wife can drive it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And it's such a great driving car. Listen, I'm not pooping on 356s.
Yeah.
But if you had a 356 and this car and they were, you watched them go by, like kind of, you know, like if you're standing on the corner and those two guys drag raced, I mean, the sound that the Alfa makes would just. It literally would send like goosebumps up the back of your neck, and a 356 sounds like a Volkswagen that's all hotted up. You know, I mean, it's just
Well, and let's face it, man. I mean, the 356, my wife's speedster, she never drove it. She never drove it because the convertible, you know, the hair thing. It's like this car, the ladies would actually drive it because
your hair
wouldn't get messed up. So, yeah, this thing is just awesome. What's it? Yeah. But it's sitting at $45,000 with an hour and a half to go. Where's it going to land?
I don't know, JP. It's really tough. I'm struggling to see this car even bring 60 grand.
Wow.
I'm going to say $58,000. And it's big shout out to Rod Emery. It was his birthday yesterday. Mm. He probably will disown the Bid Nerds, but I think I would rather have one of these than a 356. I just think it'd be really fun.
You wouldn't rather have one of these than an Emery Special, but more than a 356.
Not. Absolutely
A 356, absolutely I not. Could see. Yeah. All right. What did you say? Where did you think it was going to land?
$58,000. That's 45, but I don't think it's going to get to 60. A lot of value here because of the hot rod things that are done to it, but not collector money. So there you go.
Yeah. 58. Okay. I mean, I got to take your word for it and just be conservative because what the hell do I know about a 50s Alpha? And go, you said 58, I'll go 55. I'll bet the under and just.
There you go. All right. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, JP. Now we're going to even the playing field because I don't know anything about British cars. Justin Jurgens approved down there in Pismo Beach, our good friend and Bid Nerd buddy, would love this car just simply because it's English. It's a 1967 Triumph TR4A with the Surrey top. JP, I picked this car for you because of the Surrey top. Take a look at that piece in the back.
Cool. Yeah.
It's this is a real convertible. That piece that we're looking at in the back comes out. Or you can leave it in. It's called the rear windshield, and you can leave it in. The Surrey top. Surrey is a town in England. Otherwise, I don't know why this name comes. I guess that's like calling it a Targa top because of the Targa. Florio. But anyways, there is a top that goes and makes it like a coupe. Otherwise, you could take and leave it like this with the Surrey top in place. Or you could remove it, and then you have basically a roadster. Rear-wheel drive, front engine, 2.1-liter inline-four. These are not powerful cars, AP. We're talking 100 horsepower. But they weigh probably just a little over 2,000 pounds. They're very lightweight. What's interesting about these cars is 75% of them came with an independent rear suspension, and 25% of them came with like a solid rear axle. This is the one you'd want. This is an independent rear suspension example. The car was originally some sort of blue. It was repainted many years ago in white. By all accounts, it looks to be in excellent condition, at least cosmetically. There's photos underneath the car, JP, and it looks like it's practically brand new. Super, super clean. Many of these did not survive because of rust and corrosion or getting, you know, raced in the United States. And then a lot of these cars wound up like on the back lot of your mechanic's, garage because, failures and whatnot. These all had these terrible English electronics, what we were tagging that Sterling for yesterday.
Yeah.
This car is a prime example. So you'd want to know a mechanic that can help keep this car sorted and keep you on the road. When you're out there, you're going to have a blast and sure to garner a lot of attention. I'm sure these are fun. I have zero experience with these British cars, but they are well-loved and have a cult following, and you could do a lot worse than this one because it looks to be beautiful. So, JP Roof Special, the Surrey Top. What do you think, man? Would you rock that car?
Don't ask it for directions, but you're going to look good. I mean, I was unaware of that top. I mean, that is, you know me, I love a Targa top, a real Targa top, not like the stupid 993 Targa top. I actually think as beautiful as that Alpha that we just looked at is, I think this is the cooler looking car. This is a more masculine looking car to me. That doesn't necessarily mean it's the car I'd prefer to own or prefer to drive because oddly it seems weird coming out of my mouth, but I think the Alpha would be a more reliable vehicle to go rip around in. My experience with British cars, I had friends in high school that had them and drove them less often than my Fiat because they were broken even more. My uncle is a big British car fan, and I believe he had one of these. I don't think he had the Surrey top though. The Austin Healey's and all this kind of stuff, just God, they just never ever work, but they do look great. But they didn't make it very long in the Northwest because they just rusted out so horribly. I didn't grow up in the desert.
Look at the bulges on that hood around the headlight. and up by the passenger side to make room for what I assume is the carburetors on that side of the motor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just really cool. It's a neat car.
It is. I mean, and just the silver and the white and the black, all the trim and all the pieces are just so classy. And like I said, a little bit more masculine with the vents and the, and like you said, the bulges, the bug eye kind of for the headlights and just everything looks...
Period correct long hood, which is very English. Think of the E-Type. And JP, this car is tiny. I mean, if this is next to Mikey hashtags 914, it's the smaller car. It's more diminutive than even that. It's tiny.
Yeah.
I think you and I could go to the back of that car, lift up the bumper, and turn the car like, you know, 45 degrees. You know, like, it's pretty funny. But anyway, JP, our car is sitting at just $23,000. This is interesting to note because this car had been listed previously on Bring a Trailer in March of 19, about 2 years ago, and it stalled at $21,000. By all accounts, this should be a, you know, $30,000 car, $40,000 car, I think. And yet our car is just sitting here at 23. So it's already doing better than it did last time. But where do we think it's going to go? I am going to stick my neck out. And please understand, this is me drunk, playing darts, with blindfolds in a crowded bar. I have no idea where this is going to land.
Drinking pints. I mean, come on. It's a British car.
Drinking pints. Exactly.
We got to call our friend Lee and ask him what Mr. Patet might know. I mean, this is his, his people.
So at $23,000, JP, I'm going to say $28,000, which is the bid I put last night. I'm not going to change it, but it wouldn't surprise me if it breaks 30 because it just like the craftsmanship, the restoration had to be almost that much. Even though maybe parts aren't expensive, that's still a lot of hours and labor and fit and finish. I think it's worth more than that. So it's a value, even if it breaks 30, I think it's still a value, but I don't, I mean, I don't know, you know, it didn't do well last time. So 28 grand is my bid. What say you?
Yeah, I'm going to go with your, I'm going to say 30 because, that top is so unique. I've never seen one. That doesn't mean they're that particularly rare. I just don't know. I've never seen one, which surprises me. Cause that's pretty rare, right? That, we haven't seen something like this. And I'm just so smitten with this car. I think it's kind of like a mini, a micro Aston Martin of the era. And for 30 grand, I mean, compared to that Alpha, which, and again, the Alpha is fantastic, but if that Alpha is in the 50s and you could get this for 20,000 less and have all the cool class, you know, and I don't know, I guess I'd have to drive them back to back, but I'd sure like to keep $20,000 and maybe buy myself a Sterling as well.
I just think listen, it says the independent rear suspension makes this the driver's version of the car. I think you should drive it and take it to British Sports Cars down there in San Luis Obispo. Justin Jurgens will keep you on the road, and that is that's a cool car, man. There you go.
I definitely would not try to cross the desert in this thing. That would not be happening.
Definitely not. Get yourself that car and AAA. All right, JP, one more oddball and then we'll call it a week. This is a 1965 Volvo P1800S. Really neat car out of Bethesda, Maryland. Our car has a 1.8 liter, you know, a little more horsepower than that Triumph. This is about 115 horsepower, manual transmission. These cars drive really well. Weighs a little more too, though, probably closer to 2,500 pounds. So it probably weighs about 400 or 500 pounds more than the Triumph. But look at the lines on this car. I mean, really, you know, if you're an enthusiast, you associate this with Volvo. But if you're not, you would just look at this car and probably think to yourself, what on earth is that? I really love whoever penned this thing. I didn't do my research on this one. I'd love to know who is the creator of this particular design language. Just an interesting era. There's a couple of cool Volvos from the late 60s that are really neat. And this one, by all accounts, is one of them. Enthusiasts love driving these. I see them on rallies all the time. They're never up front leading the pack. But they're really cool that people get out these and enjoy them on a sunny weekend afternoon on their favorite back road. These cars are enjoying a little renaissance, and I see more and more of these getting, you know, cleaned up, not maybe frame off restorations like we see Ferraris and Porsches get, but certainly great refurbishments with the interior, rebuilt motors, hot carbs, maybe stiffer springs and a fresh coat of paint, and let this thing come to light and be seen again in all its glory. I am unashamed mass fan of this style of car. I just think it's really cool. It even looks older than 1965, to be honest. But I don't know, I don't think you're going to win any contest of speed, but you'll certainly get a lot of attention in your Volvo P1800S. Have you ever owned an old Volvo?
Not this old. I've had 240s and stuff, and I love 240s. But this car is the only sexy Volvo ever. Volvos have always been what Volvos are, right? Safe, reliable cars. The modern ones, I do like the design language on most of the modern ones, but not something I would buy. This car really oozes that same kind of sex appeal as the other two cars that you chose, the Alpha and the British car. So, right. I mean, this thing really is beautiful. There was a lawyer in Georgetown where I used to work in Seattle that had one of these, and he parked it right in front of my building all the time, and it always used to just drive me nuts because he would park that car out there, and it was a silver one, so it was, I mean, this, it looks great. This is white, right? And so it looks great in white, but in silver, oh my god, that car was so
hot,
so sexy, right? But he had these five-star modern kind of wheels that he got from, I don't know, like, you know, Les Schwab or something like that. And it was like, they not only were they ugly, but they just were not period correct at all. Look at this guy walking in the car. He must be did he buy this new? Look at this fella.
No, but what the ad says is it's owned by one person for 26 years. So I'm guessing he's had it for 26 years, which is great.
That does not surprise me. Look at how into it he is. We can't hear what he's saying on the video, but this is the guy you want to buy this car from.
Absolutely.
Whatever he's saying, you know.
Yeah, you think he hasn't babied that car? I'm telling you, man.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, he has spent more time in the last 20 years with this car than his wife. He's definitely more into that thing.
Wiping it with a diaper.
God bless
The interior is cool. The design is cool. It's a fun little twin cam motor. Again, you can hot them up, but I think, you know, the best value is just to get something like this and drive it and enjoy it. And man, hold on, because every time you turn around, I bet somebody's gonna be taking your picture. It's just a really cool car. So JP, our star car is not star car, but our car is sitting at $38,000. $38,500 with just under 2 hours to go. And there's been some action on this car. Let me read it to you. 24 bids. Again, though, it is in Bethesda, Maryland. But I think whatever you pay for this, you're going to factor in that it's going to cost you $2,000 to get it across the country, maybe $2,500 enclosed. But it's absolutely worth it because this looks like, by all accounts, an exceptional example of an unusual car.
Factor in a trucker yelling at you if you do have it shipped. They are not in a good mood right now.
Angry Baltic, whatever. Our car is at $38,000 on 24 bids. I'm gonna think. I think this car is gonna break $50,000, JP. I'm gonna go ahead and say I'm gonna stick my neck out on Friday. Final bid, all in, $52,000. Send it over to you. What do you do?
Where is it sitting at now?
38.5.
2 hours to go.
2 hours.
I'm going to go 50. I'm going to bet just under. I think it winds up in the high 40s.
That's a great value there because somebody probably spent $60,000 cleaning it up, or it's just an unbelievable preservation model. I don't know the story. It looks like it's been.
This guy's just had it this way. I love that. I love the rear view mirror low on the dash like that. Totally
is that
useless,
cool?
But awesome.
So cool. I love it.
and shout out to Tony Mazzagatti over at 900 Series in Las Vegas for handing me a rear view mirror for my slant nose Targa 911. I went over there and I don't have any mirrors on this car, speaking of mirror, so thanks, Tony.
Tony's the best. Look at that dashboard where he's at right now. Imagine a Momo Prototipo with silver spokes. Wouldn't that look great on
that'd
that
be
car?
Hot that'd be all for it. I love the Fridge King AC on that is just Fridge King. I mean, yeah, you can keep your bologna in the glove box.
That's a wrap, dude.
All right, man. That is a week of Bid Nerds. It has been one heck of a week. We had extra episodes because we did the live viewing of my Cayenne sale. We had a third nerd. Yeah, thank you very much. Shout out to the whole crew. Patootie, Rochelle, Esther, Lee, Antonio, and everyone. And Bradley for being on the show and everyone else. Daniel over at German Motors, Tony at 900 Series, all yep. the peeps.
All the friends.
Thanks for the support. And Matt Weitzel. We will see you guys next week for another week of Bid Nerds. You know, hopefully it'll be as exciting as this one. This is your daily nerd out on the most interesting cars of the day on Cars and Bids.
Cousin Mark.
And bring yep. a trailer and rad for sale and whatever other enthusiast auction sites that are coming. We yeah. really love doing this. Thanks, guys. Share, subscribe, like, and we'll see you Monday for 5 more editions of this darn thing. Get Have a great weekend, nerds! Everyone. That's right. That's what's coming. Look at it. Nerds!